We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lucky Charms. I still love Lucky Charms. Peanut butter, Captain Crunch, a stoner's delight. I mean, it's really a good cereal. And then... as you get older, it's like, I need fiber. And Cracklin' Oat Bran. Do they still make Cracklin' Oat Bran? I have not walked down the cereal aisle in forever. But I'm going to tell you something. You do not want to have Cracklin' Oat Bran and be stuck in traffic for a half hour. Real bad things are going to happen, and you're going to need a serious detail from my Russian buddy. Okay? Pasquale, you look like you wanted to say something, man.
I discovered a new Kashi cereal, which is red berries, and it's actually made for kids, but you can still get away with it as an adult. It's delicious with some fresh berries.
You didn't just say Kashi, did you?
I did.
Okay. Just so you know, I'm going to go to HR if you ever mention quinoa, okay? If you mention quinoa, I'm going to HR immediately. I will feel threatened.
I understand where you're coming from on that. That's a 50-50 proposition.
All right. Pasquale Maggiore. Now, Pasquale Maggiore is his preferred pronunciation, and he is the guy behind the glass in the next room and a tremendous, tremendous producer. I always tell you guys this. He's unflappable. He's got nerves of steel. He shouldn't be doing this. He should be a surgeon in combat with shells going off around him and everything, because it is impossible to get under this man's skin. I love him. Pasquale Maggiore. We loved Phil Kennedy as well. I just love Pasquale in a different way. I mean, if you got to work with people, you might as well like him, right? I mean, Pasquale makes that strong effort every day. He's got to psych himself up in his drive into work. Probably has a few shots of Crown on the way in. Now, you're very verbose today.
Let me let you in on a little secret really quick while I got your attention.
All right.
I know this might be deceiving to you, but I've been listening to you since I was a kid. So this is quite the honor for me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm humbled. B, I now feel even older than I did yesterday when I was standing in my kitchen clutching my temples. Thank you, Pasquale. It's really cool. And I'm very grateful to everybody who has listened to the show for all of these years. I'm having more fun now than I've ever had doing this. And I think in the weeks and months ahead, people are going to understand exactly why I am having so much fun, especially right now. It's called gleeful anticipation. It is 13 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly with you. Hi. The vice president. Oh, that was in June, wearing a mask. Okay. We're talking about the local situation. Mayor Byron Brown, mayor no more. And I will tell you something about Mayor Brown. Every single time I have had an interaction with Byron Brown, he has always, without exception, treated me like an absolute gentleman. We have had many friendly exchanges at various social functions, in particular those put on by Russell Salvatore from Russell Steaks and Chops. I've had a chance to meet the mayor's lovely and delightful wife, Michelle. And as a human being, as a person, I have always thought the world of Mayor Byron Brown. Again, politically, do we agree? No, we don't. But He is, I'm going to tell you, I personally have always found him to be delightful and a really classy human being. So I feel bad for him. But on the other hand, even though she's a Democrat socialist, and I'm not real big on socialists, I would be lying to you if I told you that I wasn't impressed with the life story of India Walton, who's the, you know, she's going to be the next mayor of Buffalo. What she has overcome in her life and the tenacity with which she has overcome it, I find it to be very inspirational. I think anybody can find it to be inspirational. But I want to find out from you guys, what did in Mayor Brown? Was it, and Bernie Tolbert, I didn't hear the original interview, but during Tom Puckett's news, talked about politicians' shelf life. Dennis Gorski brought that up many, many years ago when he was ousted as county executive. Mario Cuomo, his shelf life ran out. He was beaten by George Pataki. It happens. Was it the traffic camera situation? Was it the events of last summer? Was he not radical enough? Why was Byron Brown rejected by voters in the city of Buffalo? And there's another very, very important aspect to this, and that is the Democrat Party and its core supporters have gone increasingly left, all right? They have gone increasingly left. Now, what scares me is New York City elected a communist mayor, and the city is a dunghill, New York City. So that concerns me. But on a personal note, I find India's story to be absolutely inspirational. Let's go to Bill in Buffalo. Bill, welcome. You're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hello, Wilhelm.
I thought Byron Brown was actually a very good politician. That's not to say I agree with him either. He was a good talker. He would say a lot without saying anything at all. And I think history will be very kind to him, what's occurred in the last 16 years. But color me among those who are shocked to wake up today to find that we have a new mayor and that there was even an election. Yes, I knew there was a primary. I had no idea what the weight of it was. And I feel that that's where they messed up. The ground game for Brown was terrible. I thought that maybe they were trying to just keep everybody in the dark about this election. I mean, the first time I ever even it came to my attention was that he was unwilling to debate.
Yes, that was huge.
And that kind of got my attention. But I think they just tried to sneak through the primaries and without anybody realizing there was election and Indio's base was very motivated. They are a lot of activists. I know some of those people, and 11,000 people, that's all it took, and out of 20,000 people that voted. So I thought the ground game by the Brown administration was just awful, that they just tried to pull this one off in the dark.
I think that your analysis is extremely astute and extremely spot on. As I said before the break at 3, these things are always multifactorial, which is a fancy way of saying there's a whole bunch of reasons why he lost. And you have narrowed down, I think, two of the most important, and that is in a primary, turnout is everything. It's true in every election, but more so in a primary because so few people vote in primary elections. And if you have motivated voters, and India's voters were very, very motivated, you can eke out a victory. And, you know, India was very, very confident going into this. She probably had some polling numbers that were done that none of us were privy to seeing. But the failure by Byron Brown to want to debate India, I think that was big because, I mean, you know what? It usually works in favor of the incumbent. When you're a well-known incumbent like Byron Brown, as you pointed out, a lot of times you just hope to sneak in under the radar, you know, kind of like a stealth campaign. But in this situation, I think his failure to debate the challenger was costly But the hugest factor of all was the activist vote and the turnout.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about this woman. I hope for the best. She seems intelligent, and it's time for a new direction.
Well, look, she is, look, India Walton, again, politically, do we agree? Absolutely not. But she is an extremely brilliant lady, number one. Number two, she is highly energetic. Number three, she should inspire everybody because of the circumstances of her life, which she overcame, which, by the way, and if I have a chance to talk to her, I'm going to point out to her that her own life is an example of how America actually does work. You can only be oppressed if you choose to be oppressed. That ultimately you hold, well, all right, ultimately God holds your future in the hands of God, but you have a lot of self-determination and free will in life. And sometimes it's so easy to come up with reasons why you can't do something. But and for somebody who has overcome what she's overcome and triumphed over, again, being a mother at 14 years old, that is such an inspirational story.
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, I've listened to you for years. I don't agree with almost any of your points, but it's really refreshing to hear you speak about this woman in this way, and I think it's a great way for us all to move forward together.
Oh, well, you know, one thing, Bill, one of the things is, even though you don't agree with me, grant me, I don't pander. I'm not a pandering sort of fellow. Would you agree with that?
I would. You're an individual.
Yeah. Thank you for recognizing that. And I, you know, like most people, I can differentiate or bifurcate between somebody's political positions and somebody's human story. Another example would be President Jimmy Carter. President Jimmy Carter was one of the worst presidents of the United States of my lifetime. However, Jimmy Carter, the former president, is one of the greatest Americans of my lifetime. I say that because after leaving office, President Jimmy Carter used his fame, his influence, and everything he could to help other people. He wasn't out there charging $10 million a speech. He was building houses for poor people. And I am very admiring of President Jimmy Carter for what he has done since leaving the presidency. I think he is a great man. Lousy president to me, but a great man.
Well, I think the way forward starts with communication and all of us talking, despite our political views, and that we need to heal one way or the other, and it starts with the talking, I think.
Well, you know what? I do not disagree with you, and you know, to India, and anybody who supports her, I would say, look, we might not agree on 95% of stuff, but I think we can all agree that we want the city of Buffalo to be a better place. Now, how do we make it a better place? Are there areas where people on the right, like myself, and people on the left, like our next mayor, are there areas where we can work together? It sounds stupid, but even something as stupid as a natural disaster like a blizzard, there is no reason why this radio station or this show should not be an open forum for the mayor to come on to talk about what's being done to dig people out. God forbid that we have a man-made disaster, which results in tension in the city. There's no reason why she should be excluded at all from the show. I want her to participate in the show. I really do.
I think she will come on for sure.
I hope so. And I thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, despite what some texters and emailers might believe, I'm not the pandering sort of fellow. It doesn't work out for me, all right? Frankly, my memory isn't good enough to remember to whom I've pandered. But I do respect greatly anybody who has come from the background of India Walton, who has surmounted tremendous challenges. You know, statistically, you can look this up. U.S. Labor Department and a whole bunch of, you know, sociology people, they will tell you that one of the biggest strikes against yourself in life is an early pregnancy and an early motherhood. But she gave birth and she raised those kids. And despite being a young mother, look at what she's done with her life. That's not somebody who's sitting around doing nothing. That's not somebody who's sponging off the system. That is somebody who is a hard worker. And if she was a member of my family, I would be so proud of what she has done. Again, differentiating the political, a democratic socialist, differentiating that from the person behind the label, if that makes sense. And again, there's no reason why people who are on the left and people who are on the right who are working toward a common goal can't get together on certain issues and make them happen. And how do I know this? Because I want you to think about all of the conversations we've had on this radio station with Steve Cohen from Hogan Willig. Steve is very much on the left. Steve is a left-wing guy. However, Steve and I share a common love for the Constitution and for the liberties in our Constitution. And although he might be a liberal and I might be more of a conservatarian, I'm not like a strict conservative because I don't fill in all the boxes, for being a conservative, but that, you know, I tend to be on the right, but not maniacal right. We agree on the foundation of America and the rights granted to us under the Constitution. So there you have a situation where two people, disparate ends of the spectrum, agree on a very basic idea that is America. So sometimes there are more commonalities with people than we want to admit. And this is something that you, maybe I'm just being philosophical today, but it's something that you learn with age. Because if you don't gain wisdom as you accrue years under your belt, there's something you're doing wrong. Because if you don't have a better understanding of human nature now than you did 10 or 20 years ago, you're not trying. And again, hopefully the older you become, the wiser you become. And I'm not the same person now that I was 10 years ago, and certainly not 20 years ago. You know, you learn. You learn about other people, and you learn about yourself. And, you know, when you stop learning, you might as well be dead.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Oh, you can't go wrong with Toto. You can never go wrong. And now, Paspal, people are going to say, oh, he's playing Africa as some kind of a dog whistle racist message because the next mayor is going to be a lady of color in Buffalo. How dare he? No, we just like Toto and we like the song. There, nothing, no dog whistle here. Never on this show, believe me. It is 3:38 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly with you. So, why did Byron Brown go down? Why did he go down in defeat? I think there are many, many reasons. And what do you think the most likely reason is? And frankly, I think we can all agree that the most likely reason, if we had to isolate one, is what our caller said earlier. And that is the turnout. Turnout, turnout, turnout. It is vital in primaries to get your people to turn out. And India Walton, she's the shiny new toy. And she has been very involved in left-wing activism in an increasingly left-wing city. And her supporters were very motivated. And Byron Brown supporters might have been complacent. There might have been a shelf. I think there also is a shelf life factor with Byron Brown. But Was it the cameras? Byron Brown dug in his heels, to be very, very honest with you, and don't take this as a slight on Byron Brown, the man, because I like Byron Brown, the man. I adore his wife, Michelle. They're very, very nice people. But I think he seemed really out of touch on the school zone camera issue. Because you had people on the Common Council who listened to their constituents, some of whom switched. You know, they did an about face with the school zone cameras. Byron Brown dug in his heels. I do believe that hurt him. I believe not debating may have hurt Byron Brown, although conventional wisdom is if he had it to do all over again, he probably wouldn't have done anything different. Because when you are up against somebody you believe to be an unknown, the safest strategy is minimizing your exposure, minimizing your risk. And it didn't work. I don't think that was determinative, but I don't think it helped him either. And again, India Walton, the next mayor of Buffalo, she is a socialist. She's a democratic socialist. All right. I'm not a socialist by any means. However, I mean, look, she does make good points about socialism. Hey, why do we have socialism for Tesla? That's a fair question because many of us on the right, we're not real big fans of corporate welfare, are we? Why should our money be used to make Elon Musk or whomever wealthier? A lot of us shake our heads at that. But paradoxically, even left-wing Democrats know when you want to induce businesses to come to an area, what do you offer them? Come on, what do you offer them? No, not Coke and Colombian hookers. You offer them, sorry, again, I watched Scarface yesterday, forgive me. You offer them tax incentives because we know that the lower the taxes, the better businesses are going to do, and the more you incentivize them, the more they'll want to come here. That whole New York loves business campaign was predicated on the idea that if you come to New York State, you're going to save money on taxes for a finite period of time. nobody came to New York State because they knew they were being sold a bill of goods. But, hey, a lot of business people who are already here really objected to that. Their argument was very sound. Basically, hey, we've been here for 100 years, and you're going to help our competition put us out of business? That makes no sense. So when it comes to corporate welfare, that is a direct investment of taxpayer dollar into a business. That is, you know, again, I understand what the argument is for it. It's the same argument as reducing taxes. But we do, like it or not, folks, we do have socialism in some ways in this country. Social Security is a socialistically inclined program. And even the most diehard conservative, I've never taken a phone call from a diehard conservative saying, you know, Social Security is basically socialism. I'm not going to file for my benefits. You know, so again, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Aaron in Toronto. Aaron, you are on. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I always like talking to you. How you doing?
Well, I'm quite well, thank you. And is there life in Toronto? Are the carts, you know, are the carts weaving their way through the hay-lined streets?
Well, we're actually starting to feel a little bit more connected to Buffalo since the most recent election and, you know, socialists making it across the border. So, yeah, I think it's moving even a lot better now today than it ever was.
How about that? All right, well, give us your take on the election. What happened?
Tom, well, I love listening to you, and I hear you keep saying that you're not pandering to people. I don't think you're pandering to anyone. If anything, you're provoking us as listeners. I think you've said a lot of things that don't go inside, or coincide, I should say, with our beliefs. I don't think this is a good thing for Buffalo. And when you talk about this win and why Brown lost, I think you answer your own question with every reason that you've given, and that's her identity. She's a socialist. America's gone very social-minded. She's, you know, protested alongside the whole George Floyd, Black Lives Matter narrative. And right now, that's what people are voting on, it seems. It's not about policy. It's about identity. And that's why I think that's why she won, is based on all those check marks she's able to check off.
Well, was it, I mean, I guess what I don't know, and I haven't seen the breakdown of the racial component of the turnout in the primary, but as far as the identity, when you consider India, do you see, first and foremost, a black female who's in her 30s, or do you see a socialist?
I see both. I see a woman who had four children by the time she was 19, and in my opinion isn't, you know, she's not still with the father of those children, and she's done a good job for herself becoming a nurse and making a good image for herself as a politician recently. But when it comes to what she's done before this to qualify herself to be in this position other than her identity, I don't see anything. And like I say, it just shows the current state of not just Buffalo, but America. So watching up here in Canada and seeing that election occur, it just, once again, it provokes so much emotion in me because I'm like, you guys aren't voting on anything to do with policy. If I did that in any other subject, for instance, I'm going to take a new math class and I'm like, well, who's my math teacher going to be? And you started telling me what a nice guy he is. I wouldn't care. All I care is what are his qualifications to teach me. But you guys have gone so beyond that. You don't care about policy anymore. All you care about is identity.
Well, but yet you said that you saw both a one of our black sisters as well as a socialist. So, you know, as far as the identity is concerned. But let me approach this from a different angle, okay? And again, I need to emphasize, I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in socialism. I do absolutely respect the way India has been able to dig herself out of a hole from which most people do not climb. And that is reflective to me of a work ethic. But let me make the point. For how many years I've been doing this, I have taken hundreds, maybe thousands of calls from people who say, I am sick and tired of the political class. We need people from the real world to start running for office. And here you have somebody from the real world. No, she is not historically a politician. She's been an activist, a community organizer. That sounds familiar, if you will. But she politically is as much an outsider to the Democrat Party in Buffalo as Donald Trump was to the Republicans in 2016. I thought we liked that.
No, I'll give you that.
I mean, I guess I'm being, you know, avocatus diaboli, the devil's advocate here.
Well, in that sense, I can respect your answer in that, hey, we want someone who's from outside the house. I can get that. But why just hop on a bandwagon of someone who's an activist, a political activist since the age of 14, and has really towed a socialist narrative, and like I say, has hopped on a lot of the bandwagons we see the liberal media pushing towards us. So it's not, you don't want any, no pun intended, Tom, Dick, or Harry hopping in and saying we're going to vote for them because they're not from the regular political paradigm. But I think that you can find people that have qualifications that are more bedded in policy, even though they're not from the political world, and say, look, these are the things I want to do. I read her six-step campaign and your six little things that she says she wants to do. To me, they're destructive. You know, she wants to defund the police.
Right.
She wants to reappropriate funds towards schooling to go against things like CRT. And I'm sorry, that's critical race theory. I don't want to use an acronym that people might not understand.
No, I just don't understand critical race theory.
Me neither, Tom. But
I think it's based on a fallacy. But
well, she wants to fund it. And like I say, so when I do read the couple check marks of policy that she said she wants to go for, I'm like, no, this is horrible. This is not the kind of person you want to give power to. This is another Maxine Waters, or I forget, what's the lady in Chicago? You know, just because you check off the SJW check marks, all of a sudden you're given a position of power. And right now, America's relinquishing its liberty to these socialists.
But I don't know if it was that exclusively. I'll use that word again, multifactorial. And again, and I want to keep you on here because you're, I mean, I'm enjoying the conversation. But look, separating India from her politics, I am very impressed with her work ethic. I'm very impressed by how she was able to dig herself out of a position of basically, you know, you start having kids at 14. For most people, that's a hopeless situation from which you do not escape. And she was able to do it. Now, we might not agree with her political bent, but I respect the hell out of her for what she was able to do with her life. She reminds me of a lot of people I know. Who basically ended up as conservatives, and she didn't. But hold on, if you'd like, Aaron. Why did Byron Brown go down? And please, ladies and gentlemen, just understand, I will never, ever be I'll never, ever be a socialist, okay? But one of the things, if you've listened to me long enough, that you got to understand is when people are able to overcome obstacles in their lives, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. I might not agree with where they end up, but man, when I hear stories, for example, I mean, I've got friends who grew up in the projects, all right? Friends who grew up in the quote-unquote black projects, friends who grew up in the quote-unquote white projects, and they have made something of their lives, okay? Two of my very best friends are in those respective situations. And one is a registered nurse everybody loves. She's made a great life for herself. And the other is now retired, but was involved in some very, very important work helping other people. And if you look at the scorecard of life, statistically, they should have struck out, but they didn't. And they didn't because both of these people busted their humps. They really did. And I was raised to respect it when people were able to better themselves. You know, it's like, you know, swimming away from the Titanic and surviving. It shouldn't happen. Well, it actually didn't happen, but that was an overstretched metaphor. The WBEN summer stimulus word this hour is great, G-R-E-A-T. Text it to 72881, and you might win $1,000. So why did Byron Brown go down in defeat? Again, I argue that there are many, many factors. The most important was brought up by the caller before this fella, and that is, I just said fella? Okay, folks, welcome to 1957. Your time machine worked. Incredible. All right. So anyway, Byron Brown went down, and a primary, it's all about turnout and motivated voters. And folks, the Democrat Party has turned to the left, okay? So it really shouldn't be a huge shock that somebody who has been a part of the movement, if you will, who runs for office against a guy that, frankly, a lot of people saw as wishy-washy, even though I like the guy a lot. It shouldn't really be a surprise that India pulled off this victory. She's not even 40 years old yet, but it's all about turnout, turnout, turnout. And, you know, let me just tell you something. And again, I'm going to be accused of all kinds of things, and, you know, you think what you want. But if my daughter had given birth at the age of 14 and before she was 40 was elected mayor of the city of Buffalo, I would call that pretty remarkable. And I know that that isn't the kind of thing that happens if you don't work for it. And she worked for it. And I'll tell you, politics aside, I respect that tremendously. Let's go back to Aaron in Toronto. Aaron.
Hey, Tom. I just want to add to what you keep saying there, because I think it's a little misleading. This isn't a person who had one child at 14 and became a mayor. This is a woman who at 14 had her first child, and by the time she was 19, had four children. So this is somebody who took a different route in life.
No, well, my mother had three kids by the time she was 20, so, you know.
Yeah, I can respect that, but I'm just saying it's a little different than just had a kid, because I've had some friends who had an accident, and then later in life, you know, they had another kid in their 30s, but it's a little different someone who decided to, you know, drop out of school, become a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, well, this is also a person who went through nursing school, which is hard. It's not easy.
I agree with you. I agree. But
I mean, I think you need to, this is the way I view it anyway. I think you got to differentiate. I differentiate between somebody's political outlook and somebody's life story. And I do believe that we can learn from pretty much anybody. Everybody's got something to teach us.
No, I agree with you. It's just, like, I take myself, Tom. I talked to you in the past. I'm someone who comes from a background of substance abuse. I'll be 12 years clean July 26th of this year. And when I look at, I'm a VP of a company. When I think of my job and how I got to where I am, it has nothing to do with my background. Now, would my owners and bosses appreciate it? Probably not, to be honest. Would they say, you know, Aaron's come from a dark background and worked his way really hard through life to get to where he is. We should really appreciate that. No, they'd be scared of it. So,
see, I guess I'm not, and I'm not, you know, it's, how do I say this? I'm blessed to know a lot of people, and, you know, the people I know who are what you would call successes, the vast majority of them have had some very dark days where they weren't successful, where they did wrestle with various demons, but they found the strength inside to overcome adversity and are, you know, people, I mean, I know people who spent time in prison, people who spent time in jail, and they straighten themselves out, and I respect that.
I get you, Tom, but did they use that triumph as their ability to qualify for the position they're in life?
Well, actually, the two are not really related. Everybody's got, my opinion, everybody's got an intrinsic genius or skill at which they are talented. And the key in life is figuring out what that is and what you like to do and applying your innate abilities to make something of yourself. And you know what? One thing about life, Aaron, and you know this and I know this, is, you know, we make mistakes. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. But if you keep looking in the rearview mirror, you're never going to get anywhere. I'm glad you called. I appreciate that. And as far as like qualifications for the job, look, we heard a lot of that about Donald Trump. Now, in no way politically are Donald Trump and the new mayor of Buffalo similar in terms of their worldview. Okay. But the same arguments that are being made against the new mayor were made against Donald Trump. Well, what experience does he have? Running casinos, running businesses? How does that qualify him to run the country? Well, turned out he did a pretty damn good job, in my opinion.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.